Well, good morning and welcome again to worship here at Zion. We welcome you if you're regular, if you're a visitor, or even if you're worshiping online with us. We have several people from all over the country today, including Oklahoma, Florida, and North Carolina, and many possibly other places. I haven't checked the phone here recently, but so we have a lot of people that join us in worship every week from many places. Well, today's sermon title is To Meet or Not to Meet. Now, it's obviously a little play on words from Shakespeare's Hamlet of to be or not to be. That is the question. In the play, Hamlet had to decide whether it is easier to suffer death or to continue fighting. And in all reality, a church has to decide how it will face life. Many people and many churches have become Sunday-only Christians and Sunday-only churches, but that was not the model of the early church. And as we will see today, there are some key things about our life individually as Christians and collectively as our life as a church that are important for us to consider. So let us get started into our scriptures. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body. Now, I doubt if you are actually keeping track, but we have jumped from chapter 6 to chapter 10 of Hebrews. And much of the previous chapters, our author has focused on Jesus as both a high priest and as our sacrifice. Now that's important to know because in the Jewish imagery, the Holy Temple had was a very special place, obviously. It was set up with many different rooms, and once a year, only the high priest could enter into the presence of God in which they called the most holy place. And you can see there in the with the arrow pointing to the middle, that was the most holy place. This was separated by a series of curtains, and only once a year could the high priest go into there. This is where they stored the Ark of the Covenant. This is where they stored jars of manna. There were things that were very important, including the Ten Commandments that were in that part of the temple. And our author has set the stage that through Jesus, we have a new way to receive forgiveness, a new way to have direct access to God. We are no longer dependent on the temple priest or the temple sacrifice because Jesus is both. He is both our high priest and our sacrifice. And because of that, we have direct access to God's grace. And we go back to the scripture, the writer of Hebrews says that since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, says we have confidence. That word confidence is a Greek word, parrhesia. The word parrhesia is rarely used in Greek literature. The use of this Greek word carries a little more weight than the way we are used to use the word confidence. A better word to use would be emboldened, meaning we just don't have confidence. We have an emboldened confidence that we can go directly to God. And I think all too often, we don't really appreciate what we as Christians have been given. We have this great direct access to God. We can go to God any second, any moment of any day with our needs, with our wants, with our repentance, with looking for forgiveness, whatever it is. We have this great access to God. And we really don't really appreciate it compared to what the old temple law was. It's like our freedom in the U.S. When we look at Canada and Europe and other countries that also have freedom, sometimes we don't think America seems too special. But if you have been to other countries ran by dictators, countries controlled by Muslim theocracies, you will soon appreciate the freedom of the United States, right? And if you were a first century Christian, you would know how hard, just how difficult it was to live under the Jewish law. For the first century Jew, they lived under such fear of God that they refused to say the name of God directly because they were worried that they might blaspheme His name just by saying it. There were over 600 laws that the Jews had to live by. And for every law they broke, there was a system of sacrifice and penance. And then piled on top of that, the political system of that day, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the other leaders of the law, not only had the laws contained in the Bible, they had the laws about the laws about the laws and how to keep the laws. And then they had to pay taxes and they had to pay things. It was a great burden. And for the Israelites, one of the most important sacrifices was the annual sacrifice called the Day of Atonement. Once a year, and only once a year, the high priest would enter into the most holy place of the temple. And the first century Jews knew that if someone entered the most holy place and was unworthy, that that person would die. And it was only the chosen high priest that could go directly into the presence of God. But now, because of Jesus Christ, we can go directly to God for forgiveness. Not only can we go to Him without fear, we can go right to God with an emboldened confidence. And with this change, because of the new covenant through Jesus Christ, one of the big debates in the first century church was whether or not Jewish converts needed to follow the laws. Do Jewish people still follow the law? And the other question was, did the Gentiles or did all the non-Jews who convert to Christianity, did they also have to convert to Judaism and follow the laws to follow Jesus? So everybody says, what are we? Are we Jews? Are we Christians? Or are we both? In Acts chapter 15, they had this big argument between Paul, between Peter, between the other apostles. And the apostles said to the ruling council, now then, why do you try to test God by putting on the necks of the Gentiles a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors have been able to bear? No, we believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus that we are saved just as they are. This is why we no longer directly follow the temple law. And aren't you glad that on Sunday mornings I'm not cutting the heads off of doves and other things up here on the altar and offering them as a sacrifice? I don't think we would enjoy that. But you see, we have something new, something special. And we should be excited. We should be emboldened. And the writer of Hebrews continues in chapter 10, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. It says, let us draw near to God. We have this great freedom. We have this great access. Let us draw near to God. He says, draw near to God with a sincere heart. Draw near to God with full assurance. Draw near to God holding on to hope. And this, my friends, changes life. When we draw near to God, we are changed. We are filled with love, we are filled with joy, and we are filled with hope. Because you know, in life, God never leaves us. Jesus gave that promise. God never leaves us. There may be times in your life you may feel distance to God, but it is not God who has moved. It is you who needs to draw near to God. And we have to ask ourselves, why aren't we doing more in our lives to draw near to God? Because the world is ugly. The world is hard. And what does this world need more of? It needs more love. It needs more faith. It needs more joy. And it needs hope. When we go through life with emboldened confidence, it changes things. And ask yourself, what are you doing daily to draw near to God? Are you praying daily? Are you reading His Word daily? Do you worship God through words and music at home? Drawing near to God requires us to put Him first. It requires us to sacrifice our desires, our needs, our wants, and put everything, all our hearts, all our minds, all our soul, and all our strength on Him. And in addition to drawing near to God, Hebrews tells us this: and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Now that says, let us realize. This does not say how the pastor may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Doesn't say how the worship leader or how someone else may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. It says, let us. That means all of us. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We should always be loving and encouraging each other. And what better way to do that than meeting regularly together? Verse 25. It says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, obviously, you are all here today, and many of you are very committed to being here week in and week out. But before we point fingers at those who only come on occasion, we have to understand that the early church didn't just meet in the temples. They met regularly in their homes. From Acts chapter 2, it says, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And that is how the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. We need to do more than Sunday worship. That's one of the reasons we do our weekly prayer on Wednesdays. That's why we need to start small groups that meet in homes. Small groups that grow and learn and encourage each other. Small groups that get out and serve together. And guess what? This week, you have homework. Emerson, go get those papers. If you didn't grab a paper on the way in, Emerson's going to give you one. You should have gotten a paper like this. You have homework to do. So Emerson's even getting the people out in the narthex. Isn't that great? You're not hiding from us back there. But what you have here, and you don't have to put your name on it, but I would like you to bring it back and give it to me next week. You have three challenges. Number one, I want you to draw close to God. I want you to draw close to God. So every day of the week, I want you to write on here, what did you do to draw closer to God? Did you pray? Did you do Bible study? Did you spend time listening to music and singing praises to God? Whatever you did, I want you to write that on this list here. Then I also want you to keep a journal of love and good deeds. I want you to log daily journals of activities such as volunteering or serving others that demonstrate your faith in action. You can go visit somebody in the hospital. Marty would love a visit this afternoon. Hint, hint. There's other people on our shut-in list. Go visit them. Go do something. What are you going to do actively to show love and good deeds for somebody? Maybe it's paying for the meal for somebody when you're out to dinner. It could be anything. Some kind of love and good deed. Because it says we're supposed to spur each other on to love and good deeds. So I want you 7 days this week, including today, to do some love and good deeds. And number three, I want you to send a word of encouragement to somebody. You can use this little form if you want. Dear friend, I want you to give you these encouraging words. It's a pleasure to see you every Sunday, and your kindness means a lot. Whatever it is. But here's the rules. You can't do somebody in your immediate family, and you can't give it to me. Although I appreciate your encouragement, but that's an easy one, isn't it? Let's face it. Everybody could fill it out and hand it to me on the way out and say, I did it. I did my homework. That's not going to work. But guess what is easy? To walk down the hall where all the cards are and find a thank you card or a thinking of you card or a something card, right? And some already have stamps, and we even have a little envelope that will help you. But I want you to encourage somebody this week. Preferably by mail, because that means you did a little bit more than just pick up the phone and say hi. Which is good, do that too. But I want you to do something. Something encouraging for somebody. So you have three things to do this week. Three things to do. It's great that we meet on Sundays. It's great that we worship. And we're seeing growth and we're seeing wonderful things going on. But if we want to continue the path of growth in this church, we need to be the church of the Bible. We need to get together. We need to meet in each other's homes. And I've been trying to get this together for a while, and we are going to get it going this fall. It's called the class meeting. The class meeting was instrumental to the growth of this church. It was instrumental to the growth of the Methodist church. It was instrumental to the growth of the Brethren church. And this church is a history of the Brethren church, of the Evangelical church, and the Methodist church. But all three churches, what they had in common was people who held meetings in their homes, and they worshiped together throughout the week, not just on Sundays. And if you want to be a next level church, if you want to see God continue to grow and do amazing things in this church, we have to be more than Sunday worshipers. That's just the way it is. That's the way God works. That's part of His promises. And in Acts, we see they added what? Added to their numbers daily. Because you know what will happen? When you're having a meeting in your house and you invite a friend to, hey, won't you come have some coffee and cake with us at my house on Wednesday night? They're likely to come, aren't they? But if you say, would you get up at 9:30 and come with me to church at 10:15? They're going to say, not this week, right? But where are you more likely to bring them into a life of Christ than in your own home? Surrounded by other people who love Christ, surrounded by other people that want to draw nearer to God, that want to become more holy, they want to become more spiritual, they want to grow in their Christian walk. We need to continue our path of goodness, our path of growth in this church. I mean, we've done some really great things in the last few years, despite COVID, despite all the things that are going on. We just had our first VBS in decades. We had our a lot of good things going on, but we need to keep that path of growth. And if you want the church to grow, you have to grow. You get that? And you have to understand, my job is to make you grow, and your job is to make the church grow. Do you understand that? Because a lot of people want to say, why isn't the pastor down here? Why isn't the pastor doing this? Why is it? No, no, no. Remember it said, let us? And Jesus said, you all go and make disciples, right? Because he was from Galilee. That's what he would have said. Y'all go make disciples. But we got to be different. And it starts by doing the little things right. It's just like when I'm teaching my baseball players, right? before you can get a home run, you got to do the little things right, don't you? You got to be in the batter's box. You got to hold the bat right. You got to swing at the right timing. You got to do the little things right to get to the next level things. And we are doing a lot of things right, but we need to do more and keep growing and keep going and keep this wonderful thing that is happening in our church. God is working and the Holy Spirit is moving, and we need to keep it going in that direction. So you have your homework. If you lose it, I'll email it to you. There's no excuses. You want this church to grow. You want this church to have life. You want to see us to continue to grow in numbers, continue to add to our numbers those who are being saved. Then we have to do the little things. We have to draw near to God. We have to encourage each other. And we have to go out and serve. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of worship. Lord, it is good and glorious for us to gather and worship you. But you've called us to be so much more. We are connected through you. We are the body of Christ. And we need to continue to serve and to love and encourage each other, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week, so that we can endure all the trials of our life, so that we can be a witness, so that we can go make disciples of other people. Lord, we hate to think of certain things. We love to think about heaven, but we hate to think about hell, and we hate to talk about it. But your holy word tells us that hell is a reality. And Lord, let us have such love for our friends and our family that we are willing to live out our lives and do whatever it takes to share the good news of this salvation, the cleansing that Jesus provided to us, so that we may have eternal life with you. Lord, continue to lead us and guide us on the right path. And Lord, for however it longs and whatever pain it takes, allow us to endure for the sake of your love. This we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I can tell you, it's not always drawing near to the Lord. Just Friday night, the alternator went bad in my wife's car. Again, and I already knew how hard that was going to be. And Ethan and I started working on the car, and let's just say I was a little less than pastorly in my approach. And things were not going well, and things were dropping and falling in all the places they shouldn't fall. And I said, Ethan, we need to stop. And I said, God, I need you now. I need your help. And guess what? Things changed. And everything you do, in every area of your life, you need to draw near to God because it changes. Now, maybe God's message is, go to the mechanic. This may not be your cup of tea. But whatever it is, when you draw near to God, he will speak to you. He will provide you comfort. He will provide you peace. He will provide a way through it. Just like the Facebook meme that I saw, God didn't build a bridge over the Red Sea. He didn't make the Red Sea go away, did he? He made a path through it. The threat was still there. The danger was still there, but God made a path for them. And when we draw near to God, and when we draw near to each other, and we encourage each other, and we love each other, life changes. Then people will say, I want to be a part of that. I want to be part of that church that loves God. I want to be part of that church that loves each other. I want to be part of that church that goes out and loves its community. And that's where the growth comes from. So may you leave here, be drawn near to God, and go with emboldened confidence, knowing that with the Lord is with you, all things are possible. Leave here now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.